as children so that we can be stimulated and promoted, and so that our discernment can increase, so that we're not looking at stuff calling it God when it's the devil. So we may have accurate discernment. What does accurate discernment do? It brings about a harmonizing. Whew, that's powerful. I love that. It brings about a harmonizing, which tends to godliness. What does that mean? That means that everything that happens in my life, when I am properly corrected, when I get the right kind of whooping, then it stimulates my discernment to the point that I can look at that situation and I don't care how it redresses itself, I still recognize that spirit. Because when I got corrected, my discernment was increased to the point that I know the demon. I don't care how it tries to camouflage itself and look different. And so what that does is it harmonizes my spirit with the will of God. Whoo, I'm teaching already. It harmonizes me with the will of God. It's the harmonization is the same thing as when you have a choir and son, just lay your hands on the keys. I don't want nothing. I just want you to just lay your hand flat. Okay, that's a sound. That is a sound of a person that does not and cannot handle rebuke. That is the sound of a bastard child. But when you are corrected in the spirit, now give me a nice chord. It harmonizes, which means one key don't clash with the other. And it brings about a sweet sound in the spirit. Are you hearing that? And now watch this. Now what does harmonizing do? Harmonizing tends to my godliness. That means it babysits me. It keeps me from doing wrong. It watches over me. My discernment causes me to know what was right and what is wrong. Somebody say a rebuked and a corrected child. But see, something happens. Now watch this. Something happens, and just follow me on this. Something happened when the word said that, and God became angry with Ahab because people say that the Lord was angry with him because he married Jezebel. But the depth that God wants me to show you tonight is that evil do not start with an event. Evil starts with a legacy. Woo, okay, I'm gonna have to work in here tonight. Get your pad and pencil out, because we're gonna write some stuff. Evil don't start with, okay, let me just say this to you. Now see, there's a difference between a person that makes a mistake in their walk with God and they have an incident and then they repent for that incident. But when you find people who are constantly having the same incidents, God, I love you tonight. When you find people that every time God get them out of one thing, they back in something else. When you find people that cannot hold on to their righteousness and cannot hold on to their godly walk, that is not a person who is making a mistake. That is a person who needs to recognize that evil is their lineage, which means they got to go back in their generation and find out, why am I doing this thing over and over and over again? And so the church, instead of us progressing, we're babysitting. Nobody gonna talk to me too many times right here, cause you know we can't. And I'm not talking about one or two, cause you got one or two people in a church that's really powerful and just love God and you can trust their spirit. But God is not He doesn't call the church just one or two. If he ever touched your life and brought you to the altar and saved you, you are a part of the body of Christ. So therefore, it is time for you to stop fumbling and bumbling and find out. Go to the root of the matter. We keep trying to treat the symptom. But God said, it's not the symptom, it's not the kiss, it's not the fornication. Well, it's deeper than that. So now we're preaching on clothes and makeup, and you know, Jezebel is clothes and Jezebel is makeup, and Jezebel is honey, she the woman that's after the pastor. And that's been the whole deception of the body of Christ, because we think Jezebel is one woman in the church. And so instead of us building the kingdom, we turn all of our attention to Sister Watermill. Soon as church turned out, this is intercessors talking now. Did you see what she had on? Now you know that was a demon at work. Did you see how long she was in pastor's face? Honey, that's a hot mess right there. You know she, honey, we gonna pray on her. I'm finna help you with something. We gonna pray her out of our church. We gonna pray that God get rid of her. We gonna pray that the Lord deliver the church. Well then, let's find out what made the Lord angry. Let's look at this couple, and let's look at them real close, because I have some problems with the description or the opinions of Ahab. Because people say all the time, Ahab was a jellyback. He just, honey, he let Jezebel come in there and just take over. That's a whole lot of preachers like Ahab, just letting their wives just, you know. And we done turned this thing into a husband-wife thing. A first lady passed the battle. And so the Bible says, now watch this. Let's look at the history of the couple. Let's look at the history of the couple. We're going to find out tonight that Ahab and Jezebel was a divine connection. They belong together. Okay, let's go back and look at this. Let's go back and look at this. First thing I want to recognize is that Jeroboam, go to 1 Kings 12 and 8. We right there. You already there. Say amen. I just got to turn my Bible there. 1 Kings 12 and 8. Now, y'all stay with me. Stay with me now. Stay with me. We're going somewhere for real. For real. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord split the kingdom. Gave 10 tribes of the kingdom to Jeroboam. Kept one of the tribes. Solomon had to maintain a tribe because God had to honor his word to David, that the legacy of the kingdom would stay in the hands of David's lineage, because Christ had to come through that lineage. But a percentage of that kingdom was also divided to Rehoboam. Now, why does that make any sense to us today about Jeroboam? Because, watch this. I want you to see this. I want you to see. Jeroboam, after having the kingdom of God, what did he do? He got in competition. Now, here is a man that's got 10 tribes, and Rehoboam got one tribe. But the people that was with Rehoboam, they realized, according to the 12th chapter, they said, okay, wait a minute. Jeroboam, they over there and they clowning. Which one of us is going to reap the inheritance of David? Because we're looking for our spiritual inheritance. We've been promised that God has a covenant with us. So when Jeroboam heard that he had 10 tribes, Catherine, you know what he said? He got in competition and built two calves, two golden calves. And so what he said is, I'm going to build something that's going to excite them. Because this was his words. If those people ever get into the presence of God, if they make it to Jerusalem, get back to the temple, I'm going to be in trouble. The scripture said, if they make it back to the altar of God, then God is going to catch a hope to their hearts. Oh, and when God gets a hope to a heart, it can be three people in your church, but he'll use three people to take a nation. Okay, I'm not hearing nobody to talk to me. I'm not hearing y'all talk, because I'm helping somebody right now. I'm helping some ministries right now who looking cross town at somebody else that, well, they got a bigger church and we ain't hardly got none, and they got this and they got that. But you don't value what you really got. Because they may have something bigger and they may have something better, but it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Okay, I said I wasn't going to strike out preaching like that. And so you bypass your treasure trying to get calves like your neighbor. Whoa, I'm talking to all of us tonight. God then gave you a prayer ministry. The power of God, the precious flow of the Spirit have called you and chosen you to be an intercessor at 12 o'clock at night. But you're trying to get up here and preach because, oh, she getting all the glory. Oh, pastor always call her name. Oh, she gets to stand up here with the mic. But you know what? You're ignoring the part that God gave you. With this, the Lord began to challenge me also. Because, see, we want to be way up the road and around the corner. And the Lord said, you know what? Not only have I called you to do something, but you got to wait on my timing. And sometimes, let me just give this little prophetic word before I go back to teaching. Sometimes the Lord will allow obstacles to get in your way because you're moving in the wrong direction. Now, why do I bring up this story about Jeroboam? Because you know what? The Bible said that when he got ready to consult with the Lord, God sent him. Listen, it said God sent him to the older elders who had said, who his father had counseled with. And he said, should we go do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? They said, no, don't do that. But the Bible said he left the old counsel and the wisdom of God and went and found his friends that he grew up with. And he asked them, what should we do? But what he didn't realize, his friends is his age. They don't have the wisdom to see up the road and around the corner. They gave him bad counsel. You got a destiny. Woo! Let me step down here on you for a minute. God's got something locked up in your life, and it is on a time schedule. And you letting some chump that's your age in the spirit, that they ain't been in church long as you have, tell you what God is saying? No, you ain't been in God long enough to tell me what God is saying. You haven't been around long enough. Show me your stripes. Tell me your testimony. Tell me where you've been. Tell me how you know God. You can't lead me to a water if you've never had nothing to drink yourself. You can't help me build my ministry with nice flyers and all of the cosmetic that the church has to offer, and you're leaving out the main ingredient. You're leaving out my soul. Woo! I'm preaching hard right now.
Well, Prophet Spinal, you know, I just love my church, and I just love the pastor.
Let me tell you something. If you're under a leadership that can only give you the good, and something in your belly does not jump to righteousness, then you're in the wrong place. I'm going to show you something in a minute that's gonna really bless you. Because I'm going to show you that this is not my opinion. Let me show you the legacy here. You ready for it, brother? Ham. How many remember Ham? Raise your hand if you remember Ham. If you don't remember Ham, I got to tell you who Ham is. How many of y'all remember Ham? Okay, now let me lead you down the line here. Ham uncovered his father's nakedness in Genesis 9. Okay, you following? Y'all remember that? When Noah got drunk in the tent and his sons went in and the one son got his covering and backed into the tent so that he wouldn't see his father's nakedness. The other one wanted to see his father's nakedness. And let me just say this to you. And there are some commentaries that suggest that he had a homosexual desire for his father. Because it wasn't that big of a deal to see your father naked. It's the way he looked up on him. Okay, now I'm going to show you something right there. Because what happened right there is the spirit of perversion was lurking. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Then Ham's oldest son, say Ham's oldest son, was Cush. Watch this. The pagans, meaning people outside the church, the pagans, gave Cush a name. And they called Cush Bel, B-E-L. They called him Bel. Follow this. Bel meaning the confounder. Bel meaning he was known as the god of confusion. Somebody said, well then who is that? Well, who is Cush? Who is Bel? Okay, he founded Babylon. You ain't got it yet, right? Right? Bel, B-E-L, or B-A-A-L, it suggests confusion is brewing somewhere. Cush had a son named Nimrod. Nimrod, watch this, ensnared men with his words and incited them. Nimrod incited them to rebel against God. Nimrod, watch this, Nimrod, his first quest, he was considered as a warrior. His first quest was Babel. Nimrod was the one who made the decision that we're gonna build us a temple to God, and we're gonna all get together and just build it to the sky. And as it got was doing. God said this, oh, you're going to come this high in my kingdom without a relationship with me? I don't think so. I don't hear nobody saying nothing right there. I don't hear, you can't touch a neighbor and say, you can't build a ministry without a relationship with God. Nimrod provoked that. He said, we don't need no relationship with God. We're just going to keep building. Watch this. And the Bible said, and God confused all the languages. Okay, yup. It's getting ready to get heavy right now. And God confused the language. That's already heavy. That's already heavy to me right there. That's already heavy. And God confused the language. Sometimes you don't understand why people that you have been walking with, all of a sudden, y'all just start hitting a bump in the road. And God confuses the language. Sometimes you don't understand why people leave your church, because God confuses the language. Sometimes you don't understand why people that used to be your prayer partners, all of a sudden they turn on you, because there's something in that that has gotten perverted. So God confuses the language. I said I'm preaching hard. You know why he confused the language? Because, let me help you with something. That's why you got to bind the devil. When the devil said, you ain't nothing, you can't make it, you so weak, you so dead. The reason why God has to allow confusion to hit it, because in you, you have the power to be great. You have the power to build something great. But God said, I got to keep on pulling your spirit, because if I don't watch you, you will build something great, and I won't be a part of it. You may, and I'm going to tell you something. That's why I love this man. Because I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing worse than seeing a person that builds something great and got a great ministry and got everybody blowing you up about how awesome you are and how powerful you are. But the real believers, they recognize you ain't anointed. You got a whole lot of stuff, but you ain't got enough power. I'm not hearing nobody. Y'all not like y'all scared to say amen. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. I'm going to stand over here by Pastor, because that's the only, he'll say amen. See, watch this. Because when the Nimrod spirit jump you, it becomes a good idea, but it ain't a God idea. Woo! I don't hear nobody saying nothing. I don't hear nobody talking to me. And that's why the Holy Ghost said, let you get halfway through with it and can't finish it. He'll let you get your book almost finished and can't find nobody to publish it. I'm talking to somebody right now. He'll let you get all the paperwork to open up your Dunkin' Donuts and the whole thing fall through. You don't hear what I'm saying? Because God said, you ain't got no relationship with me. You don't talk to me in the morning, noon, and night. You haven't got before me to be purged in the spirit. I'm not getting ready to let you prosper. It's getting ugly. This thing ain't no joke. When Nimrod took it upon himself, because watch, you know that legacy, Ham, Cush, legacy, evil perversion transferred into him by his forefathers. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I ain't getting nobody to talk to me, but it's okay, because I noticed the word right here. Nimrod start trying to build a temple to God without God. God confused that. See, whenever God halts perversion in a person, what's perversion? Doing something the wrong way, trying to take the wrong way and make it be right. And so when that didn't work, Nimrod jumped over the fence. His spiritual lineage began to increase, because it had not conquered its greatest feat. So Nimrod married his mama. Nimrod married his mama, Semiramis. And they were known in paganism as Isis and Orsis. Now come on. Just hold on. Tell your neighbor to hold on. When they got married, this introduced into paganism the spirit of worship of Baal. Because now, let me help you, nothing can be worshipped unless there is a full manifestation of that spirit. The reason why God had to step out on nothing and speak everything in existence and call water, water, and land, land, and fish, fish, and all of that, because there had to be a manifestation of his Godhead, of his Godness, in order to get a people to say, I worship God. Before Nimrod and his mama, there was no manifestation for anybody to say, I worship Baal. When Nimrod married his mama, it birthed out the spirit of perversion. Do I have somebody praying with me? Because I got to tell you this. you this, because this gonna open up a whole nother level in your mind about what we're doing. Now, watch this. He worshiped. It brought about the worship of Baal and Ashtoreth. I'm gonna break it down. It was the work. What is this? What is this, Pastor? What is the worship of Baal and Ashtoreth? This Baal spirit is a worship of self-will and self-want. I'm gonna say that one more time. It is a spirit of self-will and self-want. So when you find people that are not doing the will of God, when they come to church, they are not worshiping God. They have been seduced by the spirit of Baal, and they are in idol worship.
You know, this, I just want to just tell you, this ain't cookies and cornflakes. This is that meat stuff. I can't come down. Listen. For the last 20 years, you all have seduced us to keep preaching step by step. Come on, live right. Come on, get it right. Come on. And we have not been able to go on to the mysteries of the revelation of the word, because we can't keep you saved a week. But then God began to talk to me as a prophet. He said, but what are you going to do about the people who are living right? What are you going to do about the people who are ready for the next level? What are you going to do about the people who do walk in consecration? You've got to begin to preach a word for the mature Christian.
There's some folk in here that's walking upright. Where you at? There's some folk that's done sold out to God. Where you at? There's some people that's ready for the revelation of the word. Where you at? And I'm here to prophesy. You can no longer be held hostage in the pew, because
I feel something here tonight. I feel something here tonight. Because you know what? You know what? Let me tell you something. A lot of what I'm preaching, a lot of y'all in here, you may not know all the right terms, but you know what I'm confirming to you tonight? You ain't crazy. You ain't crazy. Uh-huh. You ain't crazy. Uh-huh. You felt it, and God was trying to show it to you, but you didn't know. You thought, if I share this with somebody, they'll think I'm crazy. You ain't crazy.
People in the church speaking in tongues. You ain't crazy. When you sit next to somebody, they ha da da da, and in your spirit, you said, "This ain't no real tongue. Something about that. Y'all gonna make me just go off in here tonight. I don't know where y'all go to church at, but see, you know what? And it's a shame, because you see some of those same people up in leadership position, and they hallelujah, and you say, I don't know what it is, but something ain't right about her. I sense it. I see it. I know it. I may not have a license. I may not be a preacher. I may not be an evangelist, but I am an intercessor, and I'm clean, and I'm righteous, and because of that, my Father reveals all things to me. He shows me. I just wish I can get a church to shout right there, because, I see, because I just said I just want to get the church. I just wish I can get a church to shout. I ain't got but a few people. So see, I know who I'm preaching to for the rest of the night. Because I'm telling you, listen, you ought to be so full in your spirit right now. You ought to be to the point that you've been waiting for the call of the prophet to come, that you ought to be overwhelmed in praise. How can you sit there with your legs crossed? You know why? Because that demon in you know that I'm about to hit something with your name on it. Oh. Y'all sit down, because y'all know I ain't scared. Y'all sit down, because I ain't scared. Woo! Shabba-baba. My God. Okay, wait. Okay, I got to break this down. I'm gonna leave my notes for a minute. I'm gonna break it down to you down here real quick. Baal was a male spirit. Just get this, because it's all going to tie in together in a minute. It's going to mean something to you. Asherah was a statue of the female counterpart of Baal. Asherah was a statue that was formed after the spirit Ashtaroth. Tell you the difference. What is the difference between Baal? Baal is a spirit. You don't think I went through warfare for this one? Yes, I did. Because the devil don't want you to know this. He wants to keep on shouting, hey, and not know him. It's time to know him. Baal is a territorial spirit. Baal, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. You go to San Francisco. They say San Francisco, the city just reeking with homosexuality. Baal is the spirit that goes into regions. And whatever is the dominating sin, that's what the city is known for. Whatever is the dominating spirit in a church that is foul before God, that's what the church is known for. Like you got some churches that say, honey, ain't nothing but a lot of sissies over there. Baal is in operation because Baal names the territory. He says, this atmosphere right here, this atmosphere belongs to homosexuality. This atmosphere right here. You know, you got some churches you go to and they say, honey, I got to go because all they do is gossip over here. Baal says, the gossiping spirit rules over here. Now watch this. Now watch this. Now watch this. Watch this. So the spirit of Ashtaroth, watch this. It is the human manifestation spirit. So when Ashtaroth comes on the scene, that is a spirit that can change itself to be male or female. It originated as a male, but now it has the ability to transform itself into male and female. So whenever the devil wants to birth something out in a church, he puts Baal with Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth turns to a female spirit, and they give birth to a demon that's been trying to lurk in the church because of the weakness of the people. Okay, I'm preaching. You ain't got to say amen because I'm preaching. Well then, prophetess, what does all of this mean? What does all of this mean? How does this relate to us? Asherah, the Bible said, the reason why Ahab did more evil before the Lord than anybody is because, not because he married Jezebel, because Jezebel's father was a high priest in the Baalims. She was raised in idol worship. She was raised in Baal. She wasn't nobody that just got evil. And so because Ahab's lineage was evil, and every forefather that came before him did evil in the eyesight of God, and they all kept erecting this same statue. Now, what does Asherah mean? It means I'm going to erect. See, the Bible said, and we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Did it not say that? Well, the statue Asherah is a tree. And what Ahab would do, he builds a temple to Baal, and he plants these trees in the temple. Now, y'all ain't seeing this. That spirit comes to denounce the fact that we're supposed to be the tree that's planted. He done planted another tree. Y'all better come out and talk to me in here tonight. Y'all better talk to me tonight. You better talk to me tonight. He plants another tree, and the tree is fire. And the Bible said he plants that tree next to Baal so that in the spirit realm they can keep on producing. Now, okay, watch this. Watch this. Because Ashtaroth is a chameleon spirit, her symbol is the dove. That still don't make no sense to you. I'm preaching hard. Do I have some help? Y'all praying for me? Her symbol is the dove. What does that mean? When John was baptizing Jesus, the Holy Spirit descended down upon him in the spirit of a dove. So this spirit knows that if I'm going to deceive the believer, then I've got to cause their spirits to be perverted. I got to let them walk in rebellion and disobedience, and then give them the spirit of the dove so can't nobody see it. Make them act like they say. Give them a sweet spirit. Let them speak in tongues. As a matter of fact, when they grab the mic, even anoint them. Let them be, because this spirit knows how to imitate the power of God, but it cannot imitate purification. Wait a minute. I heard the Holy Ghost say, make the people praise God right there. Because you know what? We're digging up something. He said, everybody in here, just start praising God. Because we're digging up something. Okay, sit down. Sit down, I'm going to show you something. Oh, Jesus. Pastor, you see, what it is the evil have gone from the evil of the devil, from the regular devil, into, how do I know the end time is coming? Because the evil now, see, somebody called me right now and handed you a big old pipe with some crack in it. You will say, no,
Somebody walking in and said, here, I want you to take this Johnny Walker, this Jack Daniel, I want you to drink it down. I want you to become alcoholic. You said, no. Somebody walk up to you and say, here, I want to give you a pack of cigarettes. I want you to smoke to your heart's content. You will say no. And so what happens is, because the righteous are now beginning to live their lives in the spirit, this demon has got to camouflage himself because he's got to get in the spirit with the believer in. Well, I just wish I had some help right now. That's why you got spiritual warfare. Don't you be deceived when somebody can get up and preach and then you see something else about their character that's not like God. Let me tell you something. God is snatching the cover. He's taking the shield off of your eyes. He's going to let you recognize what a real demon is. I don't care if they're speaking in tongues. The Bible said demons speak in tongues and they tremble, but they don't know righteousness. Whoa! I don't have nobody to go there with me right there. It is my righteousness that determines whether or not the spirit that I say I have is real. Okay, sit down. You know, I'm going to tell you a little story right quick, and I'm move on to, because we're getting to Jezebel. We're getting there. See, let me tell you something. So deep. Jezebel and Ahab got married. Ashtaroth married Baal, a descendant of Baal worship. They established their kingdom in Samaria. Do you remember when Jesus spoke and said, I must go through Samaria? And when he got there, he met the woman. And so they start talking about the water at the well, and Jesus started prophesying to her, and she was able to go and say, I met a man. And then she told Jesus, she said, okay, this ain't about the water, so let's get to the real thing. Where are we going to worship at? And Jesus said, they that worship in the Lord must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus didn't go through Samaria for a woman. He went there so he can connect with the woman to counterattack the same spirit in Samaria, like Ahab and Jezebel, so he can restore the power of worship back to Samaria. You better come out here and understand. It wasn't about water. It wasn't about the well. It was about the restoration. It was about bringing down Jezebel. It was about bringing down idol worship. It was about Jesus saying that, look, I know that Jezebel has been cast down, but I got to make sure that spirit never surface again to worship, because now I'm taking worship out of a place and I'm putting worship in a spirit. Oh, okay, I can't get nobody to go with me. So see how you break the spirit of Jezebel, how you break the spirit of Jezebel, they needed a temple. How you break the spirit of Jezebel, I didn't wait till I get to church to worship, because you know what? Jesus broke that in Samaria. All I got to do is get in the spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, y'all, see, some of y'all ain't going to be able to handle that, because I'm not talking to the religious people now. I'm talking to the believer. Talking to the righteous, that if I get in the spirit, demon spirits gotta come down. If I get in the spirit, no weapon that's formed against me shall be able to prosper. If I get in the spirit. Okay, sit down, because I want to finish this. Can I finish this? Okay, sit down so I can see the hands, and I want to know who with me. Because I gotta tell you something. So I was pastor one. There's a girl that worked for my ministry, and she bought these parrots named Nina and Zazu. Nina and Zazu. So she came to work for my ministry. How the Lord found her was through the message No More Sheets. So she started playing No More Sheets in her house. Playing it. Yazoo and Nina. Tanya can tell you that I'm not even exaggerating by the least bit. Them birds, when she turned on one of my tapes, she didn't got turned on loud. They automatically start hollering, say yes! They speak in tongues just like me. You know when I do that, God, gonna do it in this place. Say, one of the birds, Nina, she sounds exactly like me. Y'all ain't saying nothing. That's a parrot. So you know what the Holy Ghost said to me? Honey, it don't take much for you to speak in tongue. A bird can do what I do. But that bird can't cast a demon out. That bird can't live right. That bird can't walk in righteousness. That bird cannot decree that Jesus Christ is alive. That parrot can preach my whole message. She taped it for me. She said, I'm giving it to you for a present. That parent can preach several tapes, the entire message, word for word. And she said, if I go to work, Providence, and I leave the tape on, when I get home, it takes me almost an hour to calm them down. Because for an hour, they speak it in tongues. They holler and say yes. And when the one say, say yes, the other one said, ho shada da 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 ba. The other one said, ho shada da ba. The one bird, they tell me that the one bird say, God's going to move in this place. And the other bird start going, hey! Come on here, church. Come on here, church. Come on here, church. The devil got a demon that can do anything you can do. The devil got a demon that can build a church. The devil got a demon that can build a praise team. The devil, y'all ain't hearing me preach. Y'all about to make me hurt myself. The devil got a demon that can preach better than me. As a matter of fact, the devil got a bird that can preach better than me. What are you talking about? But it's about righteousness. It's about the way you walk. It's about the way you talk. It's about your lifestyle outside of these four walls.
Yo, sit down, because I done got real excited. And I said I wanted to finish. Am I doing all right, Pastor? Am I doing all right? I said, we got some, I call them this in my ministry. We got some sneaky Stevies in here. I made up that. I call them sneaky Stevies when you send somebody to do something and they start spinning around the floor like they doing it. A few minutes later, you come and it still ain't done it. And then all of a sudden, they done stuck out somewhere. And you don't know where they went. And when they come back, all the work is done. And you say, where was you at? Oh, I had to run over. That's a sneaky Stevie spirit. That means you ain't never intended to help nobody. You just wanted to pretend like you gonna help. And God is cleaning the church out from all the sneaky Stevies that's around the church pretending like you want to help. If you want to help us get saved, if you want to help us, y'all don't hear me, because the Bible tells me that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. If you want to see, if you want to help us, then get your life right with God. So when we start praising and binding and loosing, the devil know he don't have a foothold in our church.
Let me just say this to you. See, I know some of y'all can't holler real loud because, okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone because when the Bible says, when the International Bible Encyclopedia says that, watch this, that Jezebel is a descendant from the Ashtaroth spirit, male, female, the origination of the spirit is a male. So though that spirit operates like a female, the encyclopedia said, but it does not forget its original state. And that's why a Jezebel spirit, if it is a woman, can stand toe-to-toe with a man and ain't scared. That's why she can dominate. I'm not hearing nobody talk back to me.
That's why when you see a male in the body of Christ with a Jezebel spirit, it is a spirit of Balaam. He has the ability to erect, watch this, an Ashtaroth. He can't move. It's almost like a stone brick standing in the way. Now I'm gonna break something down that's getting ready to, okay, y'all. How do you know when people in the church, when people, did you hear me say we? Sister, did you hear me say we? Point to me and say, Prophetess, how do you know when the spirit of Jezebel done jumped you? Cause see, ain't nobody exempt. That's why I had her tell me, why do you know? Because the Bible said that when the worship of Ashtaroth is in process, which is the Jezebel spirit, it said that in the temple, they carved out images of Ashtaroth and Baal, and they were created with enlarged and projectiled body parts. Like they would carve these images out and they would give the images oversized breasts and oversized penises and just exaggerate it because it was to provoke them. It was to provoke them to desire that thing instead of God. You don't hear me? And the way they transferred spirits from one to another, they had orgies. Okay, I'm going to help somebody in here tonight. I told you, this ain't no kindergarten stuff, because some of y'all looking at me like, oh, Jesus. Whoa, Lord. So then how do you know when someone in the body of Christ is under that spirit? Because whatever you give them to do, they try to overdo it. When they're seen, it's got to be, you got to call my name. Everything I do, it's got to be big, and everybody got to know it. And you don't call my name, I'm mad. Everything they do, they try to outdo everybody. They're not a team player. They want all the credit. They'll let you do the work, and they'll steal the credit. And when the job is over, they'll go around bragging, telling everybody, honey, they don't know, but I'm the one. If it wasn't for me, that wouldn't have never happened. If it wasn't for me, I'm the one that got the connection. I'm the one that did it. I'm the one. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me in here. Because I knew. I was waiting for them to get their hallelujah, because I know this last little bit, we ain't going to have a whole lot of people shout. Because y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Because see, when that spirit is not on you, then you don't care if they don't call your name. You don't care if you don't get the credit. You just rejoice because it happened. You just praise God because the church got the victory. You don't want to be the star. But when you... Y'all tired of me? Are y'all tired? Because I got to tell you this now. Somebody said this to me. I ain't got but 2 days to get this right now. Somebody said to me, well, how is it? But why is it? Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing, because, honey, I know. I can look right at people. And they said, but, honey, the word she prophesied to me was on. Honey, that's a prophetess, and you looking at people going, that's a demon. Oh, well, her word was on. Well, see, Baal was of the sun goddess, and Ashtaroth was a moon goddess. A sun goddess and a moon goddess determines information from the second heaven, which is the astrology world. So that demon can give you right information. He can give you destiny. And how he promotes you to stay a demon, he prophesies to you what you think you already right in. And that becomes your confirmation. And then that strengthens that demon on you. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Lord, I don't hear nobody say. Why don't I hear nobody say an amen right there? You don't get excited because somebody can prophesy to you, because they're consulting with the stars. But unless they prophesy and interject in that prophecy, your lifestyle. Because a true prophet will say, baby, he'll give you a house, God gonna bless you, but honey, you got to clean up. Now that's a balanced prophecy, y'all. Y'all, I'm not getting nobody to say amen. Baby, I see great things. God take you to the nation, but he going to kill you first, honey. He going to birth you out. He going to dig your gut out, because there's a whole lot of junk down in you that ain't right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know you own a true prophet when they're able to dig your spirit out and then throw you to your destiny. And they... Okay. Y'all, let me tell you something. Lord Jesus. Hey, when you get under God, the Bible said that Asa, a descendant of Rehoboam, mama's name was Micaiah, and Asa was trying to resurrect the stuff, because Rehoboam had jacked it all up.
And Asa was a descendant of David, so they were trying to get it right. The Bible said his mama erected an Asherah in the temple. And it says, and he dethroned his mama from being the queen mother. This demon jumps in all ages. It ain't no... What am I trying to say? From age to age to age, all the way to Ahab. He would not do the will of God. And when you do not do the will of God, you open yourself up to the Baal spirit. Now watch this. And when you open yourself up to the Baal spirit by rebelling against God, then you are immediately introduced to Jezebel. Okay, y'all, I just want one person to say, you helping me. I'm really understanding. Okay, let me help you with something. Jezebel didn't take over nothing. Jezebel took over. She didn't take over. Jezebel walked in relinquished authority. Jezebel walked in the place that Ahab gave up. Okay, I'm going to help you right now. So that means Jezebel is not the sister in our church with the high heels and the short skirt that's after the pastor. Jezebel is anybody who God done told to pray and you haven't started your prayer ministry yet. Okay, I'm not hearing nobody say nothing right now. I'm not hearing nobody say nothing right now. Because if you can't say amen, say ouch. Because if you're in this place tonight and God has given you an assignment and you have not yielded to that assignment, hello, Jezebel. Because if I tell you what you're doing now, let me tell you what you're doing now. Let me tell you what you're doing now. When you say, okay, if God says preach and you say no, then the spirit of the Baal is obligated to give you a new assignment. You don't hear me. You don't hear me. That's why you got people in the body of Christ doing stuff that God ain't never called you to do. You in the choir. God said be an intercessor. You still singing. You don't hear me. What does that mean? You in somebody else's job. You done did just like Jezebel. You done signed your name. You done put your seal on there. God didn't tell you to sing. He told you to pray. And as long as you are out of order, you are under the spirit of Jezebel. It's quiet in here now. It's quiet in here now. Because you know why we so chaotic right now? You know why the church across the nation is so chaotic right now? Because this is pop. Pastors, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're a pastor in this church. Raise your hand. If you, I don't care if you. Why y'all acting scared like y'all want to raise your hand now? So raise your hand, everybody going. Now some people saying I was a pastor 20 minutes ago. Okay, I'm finna love on you. I ain't gonna cut you. I ain't got a knife. Okay, let me try it one more time. All the pastors, raise your hand. Let me see here. I ain't gonna cut you. I promise you. I ain't got no knife. I'm gonna give you some vital information. I'm gonna give you some vital information. See, you will know when the spirit of Jezebel has entered. And guess what? See, that spirit starts at the back. That spirit weaves its way. And what it does is sits back and it, you don't believe this. It can pick up the desire of the man of God. That spirit can feel your passion. So when you get up and you say, I just want God to be glorified. I just want us to have some stuff that God wants us to have. Da, da, da. And so what that spirit does is it checks out everybody in the church who are not in the right place. And it comes to the man of God and say, oh, you need a worship leader? I'll do it. Oh, you need a soup kitchen? I got some connections over here. My friends know some people at the government. I can get you $50,000 tomorrow. Pastor, because God sent me to you. And I'm telling you, I'm with you for life because I know you my spiritual father. I'm going to get that soup kitchen for you. So Jezebel get the soup kitchen for you. And then, watch this. Then Jezebel calls the church one day and don't nobody answer. Pastor, I called the church 4 times and nobody answered. Where's the secretary? See, that's what I'm talking about. People all around you, they need to get on their job. Because the job of the spirit of Jezebel is to discredit everybody that you got trust in so that person can look like they're the ones for your life. I'm not getting nobody to talk back to me. And I really wish I had a church in here tonight that would just say amen or something. People that have served you for years and they may not be perfect. But you know you can count on their spirits loving God. Yeah, they're going through a transition where they're out of the will of God. But Jezebel will come and paint
Her spirit is exaggeration, exaggerated body parts. So she exaggerates everything. She makes you think that nobody's with you and everybody is talking about you and don't nobody really love you and see your vision but me, Pastor. And that spirit can jump on a male or a female. Why am I preaching hard in here tonight? Because I'm preaching tonight. You don't have to say amen to this because I know I got a message. My Holy Ghost is saying amen to me. And so when you look up, you got a one-man band. You got Jezebel who's over the choir. And if she ain't over the choir, she running stuff with the choir. He running stuff. He running the parking attendant. Everybody. And now all of a sudden, can't nobody get the pastor unless they ask you. Okay, I'm not hearing nobody talk to me in here because something is wrong. Is my mic on? Because all of a sudden the amens are going. And I know some of y'all can't say amen because you're guilty, but it's all right. I'm here to help you. A Jezebel spirit will sit in church and you're out of the will of God, but you got something to say about everybody. You don't like the praise team. You don't like their outfits and why they wearing that. And why pastor got the stage like that? And this don't look like a church. And this don't look like a sanctuary. And why do they march like that? And why they got the lights like that? Jezebel spirit will complain about everything until you put her in charge. And once she gets in charge, all of a sudden, it's a beautiful church. It's a wonderful church. It's a powerful ministry. Okay, let me come back here because y'all looking to look quiet to be back here. Everybody, now I'm going to take a walk now because y'all done got too quiet on me. Am I preaching? That spirit never agrees with anybody. It can't agree with anybody. Because you know what? And then the next thing you know, when she has subliminally, and listen, it's not always sexual. She seduces in the mind. She seduces in the spirit. She seduces by the way she helps. And when that seduction takes place, then that spirit will start telling you, Pastor, you know what we need? We need a children's church that's bigger than anybody's in the nation. God ain't told you that. So Jezebel, stop bringing you ideas about stuff that God ain't never told you to do. And then you start taxing the members to build Jezebel children's church when God ain't never told you that your ministry was a children's church. He told you. You know, something keep happening in this building. Because when I come down here, the power down here, when I go back there, the power back there, but it won't balance out. Because when that spirit gets your ear of influence, then it starts telling you, you know what you ought to do with your ministry, Murphy? You ought to take your records and you ought to just go out on the park somewhere and you ought to get out there and it'll start introducing stuff to you that sounds so big. And guess what? That spirit has all the connections to make the first assignment go over big so you can trust them with everything else. You don't hear what I'm talking to you. That spirit can bring you more money than anybody has ever brought you because a part of seduction is to over-exaggerate stuff. That's why ministries that only preach about money and blessings, that scares me because the spirit of Jezebel will keep you going after stuff. I don't hear nobody talking to me. Ahab's kingdom came down because of stuff. Ahab came from a crooked lineage, a crooked background. But he don't know how to get nothing straight. What am I saying to you? When that spirit picks up that there's a part of you that don't want to wait on God. Woo, hallelujah. When that spirit picks up on you that there's a part of you that don't want to walk in the patience and the making of your ministry and the making of the thing that God has for you, when that spirit senses that you don't want to wait on God, then that spirit picks up that you don't want it God's way, you want another way, and it will get you whatever you want the wrong way. That's why you don't hear what I'm saying. Lord have mercy. That's why Jezebel looked at Ahab and said, you want that land? You want neighbor's land? I'll get it for you. God didn't intend for him to have it. She said, you want it? I'll get it for you. Because what am I saying? When your spirit stop desiring God's way, there's another demon that'll give you another way. But the Bible says that the end of that way is destruction. Who am I preaching to besides myself in here tonight. Talk your neighbor and say, you better wait on God. You better be still and wait on God. If God told you to jump in one place, I'm going to jump till he tell me to move. I'm not going nowhere. If God tell you to paint the church, he ain't called me to preach. I'm going to paint the church until God tell me something else. I'm not going to let no Jezebel spirit come and prophesy something to me that God does not intend for me to be. I'm going to wait on God. Am I helping anybody? Oh, I'm just preaching hard. Now, which is it? Am I helping anybody? Am I just preaching hard? I'm just... See. That Jezebel spirit. See, God got to maneuver stuff. And the spirit of the Lord like a chess game. He got to shift and move people and move stuff and move situations. It's like he's shifting. Because he's making a way. Now, if you've ever seen a chess game... It ain't like checkers. Because, see, checkers, you get there and you jump. You jump and you take it. Folk ain't walking stuff out no more. They just playing checkers. Oh, I see a good opportunity. It don't matter that I just offended Sister So-and-so, who been working in this position for 9 years before I got here. It doesn't matter that I didn't come to her and say, I would like to work with you because I had skills at my old church, but I don't want to override nothing that y'all doing. So I want to submit myself. That spirit want to jump and take. But see, when you commission yourself to do a God's way, then you got to play chess. You can't jump and take. You got to be sure.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Come on, church, make some noise.
Greetings. This is Reverend Lionel Smith, pastor of New Scholar Baptist Church. We are a church that is working towards acquiring the mind of Christ. Sit back and listen to the message already in progress.
Many by thousands would love to have, as they lay in their sick beds and as they lay on their beds of affliction, don't even have their right minds, nor their faculties, nor the use of their extremities. But Father, we say thank you to you have saw fit for us all to be here, to stand in this place and serve you. We thank you, Father, that when we entered in the temple on this morning, that the temple was not found with an Ichabod spirit. For Ichabod means that the glory of the Lord has departed. But we thank you that it was found full of love, full of peace, and full of the fruit of the Spirit. Father, we say thank you on this morning, Father, for keeping us and enabling us to get to this present hour. Lord, we thank you simply for everything that you're doing in this season. We thank you for what you're doing through the man of God, the angel, and the under-shepherd of this house. Father, we thank you for the labor thereof. Father, we thank you for the fruits of he and his wife's labor. Father, we thank you for bringing a fresh anointing to this place on this day. Father, it's just my prayer that as I come forth, that you would hide me behind the old ageless, yet rugged cross of Calvary. Allow the blood to go before me, Father, and I pray that something that I might say on this morning will lift up the hearts, the heads, the minds, and the spirits of this people, that ultimately when all is said and done, that the people will do just as the disciples did and would admit we have seen strange things today. Lord, it's these and all blessings we ask in thy darling son, Jesus the Christ's name. Amen. Again, it's just so good to be here, so good to see all the saints of God this morning. Y'all, believe it or not, I look out there and I don't see people based on conditions, situations, and circumstances. But when I look out at the people of God, I see people that are blessed. I see people that God is doing a great work in. To the angel and the under-shepherd of this great church, the New Scott Alley Baptist Church, our pastor, beloved friend as well, colleague, none other than Pastor and Bishop Lionel Smith. We thank God for the man of God, the angel that he has set here in charge and over this house to keep it until he comes back to receive it unto himself, which, by the way, is soon coming. Oh, so good to see my brother Dotson over there. So good also to see my brother and my co-laborer in the gospel, brother Basil Smith, and also Minister Charles R. Carter. Good to see you as well.